Because some journeys are better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
I don't think the last 10 minutes of this show is really enough to celebrate the two legends we have on the line. And we've got Gary Kirsten, can you believe it, on the line. Yesterday, we know that we had the Hollard Sports Awards, which took place. And Gary Kirsten, of course, won his awards for the Sport Lifetime Community Award, as well as Stanley Christodoulou, who's a South African boxing referee. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us this morning and welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be on the show. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's start with Stanley. I'm from the Eastern Cape, Stanley, and you may understand why I'm so excited about the fact that you won this award. What does it mean to you and your contribution to sport? Congratulations as well.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to me, and I'll tell you the reason for that. Beautiful Eastern Cape, you'll appreciate. That's like now become the mecca boxing.
Yeah.
But the years I was involved, I'm going back in the 60s and 70s, you can, I refer to that for the simple reason. It was very important for me, getting an award like this, because it also recognizes recognizes your positive, sustained positive impact.
Yes.
It recognizes your groundbreaking efforts. That's what I was told. Now, what you can remember, when I started in the 1960s, okay, despite the oppressive laws of the time and the disparity of opportunity for in that era, we still produced wonderful black champions. And I can make the call, Enoch Kuman Klopper, we had Ex-Killer Ngidi, I got all the names, and you had Happy Boy Naji, remember, he fought for the world title as well. What was so important to me was the fact that those boxers laid the platform for the great champions we have today. We had the Beast, Yavani Bungu, Mpateli, Dingon Tabela, Jacob Matlala, all the names that you can remember. But the problem, unfortunately, these gentlemen deserve to have their stories remembered and respected. Mm. You know, history as quickly goes by, and the deeds and determination of these great boxers will be forgotten. Fortunately, I brought out my own memoirs, and I make reference to it in a chapter called The Raw Edge of Boxing. Okay, so it won't happen. They mentioned there, but it's important that part of my career, apart from my referee and what have you, made a big impact for me, and I felt proud that I got this recognition, and I was really humbled. I really mean it, because I thought, you know, I did a lot. I've even got a presidential award from President Mandela. I'm going back many years now,
yes.
And you know, it made me feel proud, because there were some good people that supported the way we restructured boxing in this country. So I have to mention that, because that's quite important for me, the role I played in the restructuring. And what we can do, as I said to Mr. Jack, you know, continue with training. I've got good material to train. We've got fantastic talent in this country, but we need to do what we did when Mtovich Mjasi took over the Director General of Sport at the time. We had programs, University of Pretoria, and I've structured some very good, psychology of boxing. There's so many things I can display, and we can improve the quality with training. And I've got that material. I think that's what's needed, you know. But last night was a great opportunity to share some of those views with some of the people that were present there where I went to. You know, really, as you know, it was all virtually. But that's.
Yeah, so Stan, how do we keep the legacy alive? I grew up with boxers running from Tanzania to King Williamstown, and it's a proponent of them escaping poverty, and we've seen these world champs do extremely well. How do we keep the legacy alive, and who should we be looking out for, the new champs?
Well, there are a lot of good talent that's coming through. Unfortunately, you know, the whole world has been knocked back with this COVID situation, because as you rightly point out, there are a lot of promoters that haven't got the resources we need to assist them in that way. I know the municipalities play a big part, like, for example, in the Eastern Cape, you've got some big events taking place, but we've got to focus more on the development, more on the grassroots. When I started in the townships those years, I'm talking about Mamelodi, Atteridgeville, all these various areas, and the talent comes from there, but you've got to keep at it. How do you sustain it if opponents, especially our black guys, come along and they haven't got the resources? Okay, they haven't got television. So it's these small boxing events that make it. And, you know, we're going to get another amateur program underway, a good one, because they come through the amateur ranks. So that's what we have to do. We have to really, you know, commit ourselves. There's a lot of passion. There's a lot of fellas out there that want the opportunities. As you said, I know you're talking about. I've been to Duncan. I did a fight once in Duncan Village with Aubrey Kitku Petra. He fought it was at the end of his career, Jack Tooley. So, you know, I saw where these guys come from, and I see the enthusiasm, and the boxing is a big, big sport apart from soccer and amongst the fans. So they need to get help somehow, and they put on these small events, yes, and you'll see the fighters come to them. And we had that in the past. We had so many good fighters. Yeah. Today, there are not that many, to be honest. There are a lot. Yesterday, when I was at our 1,000 professional boxers, 80% of which were black.
Definitely.
You know? I believe a good program, we should, the BSA should get together. So let's start having these clinics again, workshops, and encourage these fellows to come through and help promoters that haven't got the means, because they're the ones that, if today they haven't got an audience, I mean, yes, well, how do you...
And you can't really speak about the Eastern Cape without also talking about cricket as well, with the likes of Mfuneko Ngam coming through. Gary, you won the Sports Lifetime Community Awards, and it was also your birthday, and we saw some fantastic messages. One of those messages was from your World Cup winning squad member, Yuvraj Singh, who wrote, to a coach, friend, and a happy legend, and a legend, here's wishing you a very happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
So, Gary, I can't imagine, there's so many firsts, there's so many things that we could mention, but I think one thing that really stands out, especially with the award you won as well, is development. Why would you say that development is important, and where can we start? We heard Stan talking about grassroots development.
Yeah, I don't think it's similar to what Stan had mentioned. You know, I was very fortunate to become a close friend with a school principal in a school on the eastern side of Khayelitsha, and I popped in to go say hi to him and really to start talking about the game of cricket in the township of Khayelitsha. And he took me on a tour around 8 to 10 schools, and I didn't see one sporting facility, nothing.
Sure.
And it just prompted the opportunity to say, well, let's start something, you know. And you know, it's amazing, you create a sporting program in an area where there is no sport, and you will get kids wanting to play. So we went from that region, from no kids playing cricket at all, to now 400, of which many are girls as well. And there's a passion, and there's an interest, and there's something to do after school, you know. And the most important thing, as we know, in cricket is it requires significant infrastructure. You know, you can't play on an uneven piece of grass if you want to create, you know, players who can develop pretty quickly. So we had to work quickly to make sure that we could, you know, produce a cricket school of excellence. And, you know, why does the schools of excellence have to be in the elite suburbs of Cape Town? Why can't we produce a cricket school of excellence in the township?
Yes.
And that kind of got us motivated and got going. And it's wonderful just to see young kids loving the game of cricket. I mean, some of them have been playing 2-3 years and already playing in Western Province representative teams at junior level.
Yeah, and those are the kind of gems that you'd like to see coming through the structures. You're considered to be one of the most organized batsmen to play. And two of those components and the longevity that you've had, it comes from very difficult skills such as patience. And you focus on your weaknesses as well as much as your strengths. What tip would you give to parents and children listening in right now?
Well, I would just say create opportunity, you know. I was fortunate as a young man to be given all the opportunity I wanted, you know, right from a young age. You know, I had cricket equipment, I could play on good fields, and I had a coach anytime I wanted. So that kind of opportunity allows your skills and your talents to flourish. And I think if you create that opportunity for young kids in poorer communities where they don't really get it, you start to see the talent that sits out there.
Right.
And, I mean, that's exciting for us. I mean, this is just a very small project in a particular region in Cape Town. I mean, you know, our kind of vision would be to that people can duplicate it, that we can go around South Africa and create these kind of environments. But the one thing that is very clear is that when you do create that opportunity, you do see young talent flourishing. And that would be my motivation.
All right. Thank you to both of you, and congratulations to you for your awards and the contribution from the bottom of our hearts.